to go and open your big mouth. If he'd sent us back to Amadis, all we had to do was go AWOL for a few hours and then come back empty-handed.
Even at a whisper, the rebreather he was wearing ensured Murtok's voice carried across the barren, muddy expanse of no man's land. His two comrades, advancing in front of him, cut him glances that told him to shut up in no uncertain terms. Regan had considered the possibility of pulling a fast one before he'd answered back to the colonel, but, given Telomian's current frame of mind, returning from Amadis without food or water would be tantamount to signing their own death warrants. Far better to take their chances on patrol in no man's land, or, as the colonel had put it,
reconnoiter the enemy positions and determine the strength and troop types arrayed against us.
Or, to put it in yet clearer terms, a suicide mission. Time and distance had lost all meaning in the flat, brown terrain, and the three irregulars had no idea how long it had been since they'd left the relative safety of the trench. Though they were fairly certain they were still continuing in a straight line, the cloying mist made it impossible to tell just how close they were getting to the enemy trenches. Regan stopped suddenly, held up his hand and motioned his comrades to halt. The enemy had not mined the contested zone, but other obstacles awaited anyone foolhardy enough to venture there. And it was the rotting corpse of an enemy combatant that had drawn Regan's attention. Satisfied that the monstrosity was dead, but not daring to touch the corpse in case it had been booby-trapped, he signaled for them to continue advancing. Tarik broke formation and got closer to Regan. He lifted his rebreather slightly to keep his voice at the barest minimum.
Way I see it, we should just sit tight here and then head back to the trench in a couple of hours. We'll just tell the colonel that there's lots of the enemy and they're all big ones too. What's he gonna do? Stroll out here himself to double check?
Regan pulled his own rebreather to one side to reply.
Too risky. The enemy have probably got patrols out here too. And if we encounter one, I'd rather we were on our feet and ready to react.
Tarik nodded and resumed his position in their formation without any protest. Though the three men were all of the same rank and inexperienced soldiers, Regan had emerged as their de facto leader during their time in the trenches. Murtok and Tarik had grown to trust him implicitly, and it had kept them both alive so far. If they were going to survive a pointless patrol in no man's land, then following Regan was the best way to achieve it. Hours passed with nothing more than the occasional corpse or discarded weapon to break the monotonous terrain, when, just as they were beginning to doubt the existence of an enemy trench, the mist began to thin out, and the landscape took on a different aspect. Carefully stepping over a length of razor wire, Regan signaled for them to hit the ground. For the next few minutes, progress was painfully slow, as they practically swam through the mud. With every meter they advanced, the mist became thinner, and Regan was convinced that it was the enemy themselves who were controlling the weather. What other explanation was there for the poisonous fog hanging only over Amadis and the trenches dug to defend it? The silence also gave way the nearer they encroached on the enemy position, and the three men grew more concerned about being spotted than being heard. Ordering them to stop, Regan pulled out a set of field magnoculars. While the Imperial trenches were crowded, those of the archenemy looked more like a cattle container, such was the volume of bodies crammed into such a tight space. Regan now realized why they were able to send so many attack waves against the defenders' positions. Sheer weight of numbers meant they were content to gradually whittle down the Imperial forces, until taking Amadis became a formality. Cultists and mutants unloaded crates from armored vehicles and lowered them down to waiting arms. Occasionally, a bigger, better armored soldier would shout orders, and several of the subordinates would scurry off and unload a freshly arrived vehicle or lug ammo containers further along the trench. To Regan, it looked like they were preparing for an advance, one bigger than the Imperial forces had experienced thus far. When Regan turned the magnoculars on the once green plains that lay beyond the vast brown gash that had been gouged from the earth, what he saw made him realize that when the enemy's next advance came, it would be for the final time.